We were just talking about the notorious case of a man who probably does have severe mental problems, addled by drugs, but is smart enough to know who to attack and who not to attack if he wants to get away with it, and then, of course, does try to run away. The man who attacked these three women and one of their 18-month-old babies has, the Lake Washington Arboretum area the other day, has five previous convictions for assault, three of them felonies. One of them committed in 2020, and yet here he is out walking around. You have to ask how the prosecutor, you know, the police obviously did the job. They arrested the guy. They referred him for charges. Was he charged with what he was arrested for? How accountable is he being held? Here's another example of the problems we see. Ann Davison, the newly elected Seattle city attorney, walks into office, has a backlog of 4,500 cases that had been referred by police officers and were just sitting there, unresolved. Now she has to try and hire enough prosecutors to get rid of the backlog. Well, one state legislator notices this trend and wants to do something about it. It's State Senator Chris Gildon from Puyallup, newly elected, and he has a bill that will require both city attorneys, they prosecute crime up to the level of felony, and prosecutors, who are supposed to prosecute felonies, it requires them to track all the referrals that come to their office by police officers rather than just round filing them or setting them aside or pleading them down. Anyway, Senator Gildon joins me here on the commute. Chris Gildon, good to hear your voice. Thanks for joining me.
Well, good morning. Thanks for having me on, John.
Okay. I think I know the answer to this question, but here goes. How big a problem is this?
Well, you know, this is a pretty big problem. So I came across the idea for this from a report a few years ago that was titled Declines, Delays, and Dismissals. And it was talking about the Seattle City prosecutor, which you just mentioned, and how that in 2017, they did not take action on 46% of the non-traffic misdemeanors in that city during that year. And that was up, John, from 17% just a decade prior. So I started wondering.
That was Pete Holmes. You're talking about Pete Holmes, who's finally been driven from office and replaced with Ann Davison. Mm-hmm. Thank God. But yes, when police would go through the hassle, it takes about 4 hours to do all the paperwork and whatnot. Send the paperwork to the city prosecutor's office, almost half the time, Pete Holmes simply said, nope, not interested, and round-filed the paperwork. Go ahead.
That's right. You know, and then that got me thinking, you know, how do voters evaluate the performance of their elected prosecutors? What information is out there for them to evaluate their job performance? As a legislator, every vote I take is out there for public consumption. Every bill I sponsor is out there for people to easily look at, and they can digest and they can tell if I'm doing a good job or not. There's really no data that's easily available and easily digestible for voters to determine if they like the job performance of their elected prosecutor. So I decided, you know, let's just bring it all to light. Let's just have them submit a simple report each year, posted on their webpage, saying how many referrals did they get from law enforcement, how many did they take action on, and then write about a 1,000-word narrative explaining why. It's just accountability to the voters.
Now, I love this, but what's the initial reaction been? This bill is going to be heard this morning, I think at 10:30?
That's correct. It's going to be heard this morning at 10:30. And so if people want to sign in to testify, or if they just want to sign up, thumbs up, thumbs down against, for or against the bill, they can go to leg.wa.gov, click on bill information, type in 5691, and then they can comment right there. They have until 9:30 this morning to do that. But so far,
if they want to watch the hearing, how do they do that?
I think that they can go to that same page and look at, we may have to follow up on that, but I think you can get it from that same page.
You better give the web address again.
Mm-hmm. So, but I think it's really important still. Even
Chris,
today because
give the information again, please.
Oh, it's leg.wa.gov. Click on bill information. Type in the bill number 5691, and then there's a button where you can comment on the bill.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. So, but I think it's really important because if you look at the most recent data that we have, which is pre-COVID, because since COVID hit, everything has gone haywire, you can look at the Pierce County prosecutor in 2019. They did not take action on 46% of the cases. King County prosecutor in 2019 did not take action on 41% of felony cases. These are felony cases that I'm talking about.
So I want our listeners to know what these terms actually mean, at ground level. That means police officers arrested people and arrested them for felonies, completed the paperwork, sent the paperwork to the King County Prosecutor's Office. Again, this is pre-COVID, 2019. And four times out of ten, Dan Satterberg's office did nothing?
That's correct. And then we compare that same year to the Spokane County Prosecutor, who did not take action on only 6% of the cases. And it just leaves me wondering, why is there such a wide disparity? And I think voters need to know.
I do, too, and I love this bill. A lot of the times, Democrats, since they control the chamber, won't allow hearings on bills. So I was pleased to see this bill was given a hearing. How are you doing in terms of co-sponsorship? And have any, so-called stakeholders spoken up early for or against it?
So I have two co-sponsors, Senator Honeyford and Senator Rivers, both Republican. However, the good news is that this bill is already scheduled to be voted out of committee. So that's a good indicator that we made it onto the calendar. It's scheduled for a vote in committee on January 27th at 10:30.
Good.
So that is good. And we've got, obviously, law enforcement has signed in favor of the bill, and prosecutors have signed in as other. So we will see later today what their objections are.
When you say prosecutors, you mean individual prosecutors or the State Association of Prosecutors?
The association, John.
Okay. I would love to know why this isn't just a common sense way for people to follow the decisions, the public decisions made by public officials in how they carry out their duties.
Yeah, I would imagine their objection relates to resources. They're probably going to say that this report once a year that has two numbers and 1,000 words worth of explanation is cumbersome, and they need additional state resources, dollars, to fulfill this obligation. But that's just me guessing, John.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, that's the rhetoric, and I predict that that's correct. But Pete Holmes, because I know this report you're talking about, compared with his predecessor, who was a liberal Democrat, his name was Tom Carr. Tom Carr prosecuted 87% of the cases given that were referred to him by police officers, and Pete Holmes rejected 46%. He had more money than Tom Carr. He simply chose not to spend it prosecuting. people at the request of police officers. I am very glad to see this. I hope police officers come in big time in favor of this. And this is a pro-cop bill, and that's how it should be seen. Pro-public safety, pro-police officer bill.
Absolutely. And pro-transparency.
Yeah, and it's good government, Bill. You're right. It's good government. Just tells people, look, here's how the person you selected to be your prosecutor, here's how they're doing their job. Here's, you know, when they choose to prosecute and when they don't. Final word.
Yeah, we've got to make a change. We've got a spirit of lawlessness that has just been gripping our state. And, you know, I've often said that a society that doesn't enforce its laws and protect its citizens is one destined for failure. We've got to make a change because we're on that precipice right now, John.
Chris Gildon, State Senator, Puyallup, ahead of the curve. What a great idea. I wish you the best. That hearing is later today at 10:30. Thanks again for joining us, and I hope you get increasing support for your bill.
Thanks, John.
You got it.